Thank the Lord for his anointing on this song service tonight. Everything has been said and done. Now for the preaching hour, Dr. Mike Bagwell will come preach for us. Well, the message we heard this morning was wonderful. We appreciate all the visitors that came back tonight. We have other visitors here. Thank you for coming, Dr. Bagwell. We're so honored again to have you with us. We sure appreciate the Lord giving us this time together. Make much of it. Take advantage of every open door that he's given us tonight. Dr. Bagwell.
Well, we know the chapter, don't we? 2 Samuel 23. We'll be there, the Lord willing, each evening this week. 2 Samuel 23. If I had had more time to prepare, we're in a revival every week, and I'm thankful for that, deeply thankful. Last week was particularly busy. Last Sunday through Wednesday, we were in Pickens, South Carolina, in a meeting. First time I'd ever been in the church or worked with this young pastor. Oh, my, what a delight. Then I drove on Thursday down through Atlanta to the other side of the city, Temple, Georgia, not far from Alabama. And then Thursday and Friday nights, God let me preach to a precious group of His people. And all of that requires study. And I'm a blessed man in the sense I get to invest that time. But the sermon I'm going to preach tonight, probably, this is a terrible thing for an evangelist to say, probably should have been preached this morning. I think it's the best way to introduce 2 Samuel chapter 23. But oh, Shema got the burning in my heart. And I just felt like I had to share those two verses with you. So now tonight, verse 1, 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 1. And in order to tell the whole story, to get in the whole paragraph, I'll just heads up, let you know now. We really need to work our way through verse 7. From verse 1 to verse 7. A lot more scripture than this morning's two verses. And so we'll just, and honestly, preacher, if I have preached this text, I have no record of preaching in a revival meeting. But if I've preached it, it's been many, many years ago. And it's new. And it's fresh. I hope I get one amen here. And I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do with it. In my heart and in yours. Verse 1. Now, these be the last words of David. This is certainly among the last things he wrote during his lifetime. Last words can be so important. That loved one, more than likely you remember the last thing he or she said to you. These are the last words of David. And if not the last spoken words, certainly the last written words. Honestly, they're telling me, the Hebrew men, they're telling me that verses 1 through 7 comprise a poem. I can word that better. A psalm. This is another psalm of David. I didn't even know we had. In the book of Psalms, the Psalter, there are 73 Psalms with David's name ascribed to him. That's nearly half. And preacher, I think there are a bunch of others that don't have his name ascribed. David is indeed the premier psalmist of Israel. Let's enjoy this psalm. These be the last words of David. Oh, let me just say this about David, because I think it needs to be said. Here's Hebrew, David in Hebrew. David. And what does it mean? And you learned in Sunday school a long time ago, it means beloved. David, beloved of the Lord. Or it can mean David, one who loves the Lord. But David is derived from a little Hebrew verb, dod. Merely spelled D-O-D, dod. I'm going to tell you what dod means. And then we're going to link it with love. It means to bowl. In your lexicon, it means to bowl. How do you take a verb that means to bowl and then ascribe it a meaning, a definition to love? And I'm not sure I know the answer to that, but if bowl and love are going to be linked, I need an amen. It's certainly not a cold love, is it? It's not a lukewarm love. It's not an indifferent love. It's a love that is on fire for our Lord, for our Heavenly Father. I think that's why God let David write some psalms that nobody else should have written. Just wouldn't have fit it because David was that much in love with Almighty God. You may want to say amen, but you may not. I want to love Him like that. I want that kind of fervent love in my heart for my Heavenly Father too. The last words of David, comma, David the son of Jesse said. David the son of Jesse. We're going to, and this is a hint already, we're going to get his heritage. He is of the offspring of Jesse. And he said, and I don't want to bog down simply with word study tonight. By the way, if we're looking at his forefathers, before it's over, we're probably going to be looking at his descendants as well. You see that? We're looking back in history. We're going to look forward in prophecy. Hey, I guess I better say this. Jesus is a descendant of King David. Preacher, you can't prove that. I most certainly can. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 is as good a place as any. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, comma, the son of David, comma, the son of Abraham. Jesse, that way. Ultimately, the Lord Jesus, that way. But you see that little, the Hebrew spells it N-E-U-M. And what does it mean? It means said. But it is, Amar is a Hebrew word for said. Dabar is a Hebrew word for said. This word, Ne'um, it means to say this. It means to declare this. To talk as a prophet. Y'all hear me? To talk as a prophet. This is divinely inspired scripture. God. Ne'um, very important word. It is a signal to what's coming up in the rest of this. I'm coming right back, and the subject is germane to my text. Prophet, Ne'um, to speak as a prophet. Ne'um. The Hebrew noun for prophet is Nabi. Ne'um, Nabi, you can hear the similarity. I want to define the Hebrew word for prophet. Somebody please smile. To speak under the influence. That's what the word means. Preacher, you better be careful there. I don't get that at all. This man of God is speaking under the influence. That means he is speaking out of the control of himself and his own psyche and his own ego under the influence, if you'll amen, of the Holy Ghost of God. Well, now, Brother Bagwell, you cannot in any means compare being under the influence like we know it today, DUI, for example. You can't compare that to the Holy Ghost of God, not in a negative sense, but I do have a verse. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Be ye filled with the, you know what I pray happening? The Spirit of God can teach us and then cause us to see one little nugget after another. I want a PUI tonight. That's called preach under the influence. If God would help me and God would allow me. Nahum, very important word. David, the son of Jesse, said, and who would, but you know what David's doing here? He is giving his testimony. So far, that's the essence. The man who was raised up on high. Now, technically, and not a soul would have ever heard of me. I'd have spent my life shepherding sheep somewhere on the backside of the property, but God came along one day, and God got a hold of me one day, and God raised me up. Can anybody testify along that line? He found me in a miry pit. He found me in a terrible mess. I was dead in my trespasses and in my sins. And by grace through faith, He saved me, lifted me out of that miry pit. And right now, and I'm enjoying it, I'm standing on the rock. Hallelujah. The man who was raised up on high. Goes on. The anointed of the God of Jacob. Preacher, he's talking about himself. He just called himself God's anointed. God's anointed. That word anointed, it is literally our word Messiah. Messiah. What does it mean? It means oil has been poured upon this individual. He has been, in that sense, anointed with oil. You all are familiar with this. There were three offices in ancient Israel that you could not serve legitimately unless you had been anointed. There is the office of priest. There is the office of prophet, and David's broached that right. But then there is the office of king. The office. I hope I get an amen. We need some anointed leaders in America today. The anointed of the God of Jacob. I may be stretching this too far, but I'm pretty sure if you're here tonight and you're saved, you're anointed also. I don't know about that, preacher. How do you think I'm anointed? The oil of the Holy Spirit of God. And oil is a valid Old Testament symbol for the Holy Spirit of God. If you're here and you're saved, He lives in you. He indwells you. He abides in you tonight. He'll fill you with His good Holy Spirit. You are saints in that sense of the word. You are anointed of God. Wow. The anointed of the God of Jacob. 25 times in our King James Bible, that string of words in that order, the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Wonder why it didn't say the God of Abraham. Sounds pretty good to me. Or the God of, it specifies the God of Jacob. Let me tell you what Jacob means. Though I'm pretty sure you're already aware of, Jacob means this. If you want it in everyday language, the word Jacob means crook. Thief. If you want it in biblical language, it means supplanter. What does that mean, preacher? Somebody that wants to jerk you out of the way so they can get ahead of you. So they can be in first place, supplanter. The God of Jacob. It's amazing Jacob ever met this God or ever knew this God, but God saw to it that he did. Y'all remember Jacob? He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, a mess of pottage, if you will. And then later he will lie, he will cheat, he will deceive to put a little more, if you will, money in his pocket. Jacob. He's a crook. Now I need an amen. Then one day he met the Lord God Almighty. I say God came into his heart, God came into his life, and God looked at Jacob one day and he said, your name will no longer be Jacob, your name will now be Israel. Israel. And what does Israel? We know what Jacob means. Crook. Supplanter. What does Israel mean? God is my prince. God is my boss. God is my... God took a fella who was a low-down lying crook through the grace of God, through the looking forward to the cross of Calvary. God turned him into a prince. God turned him into a gentleman. That's the God of Jacob right there. By the way, that's the God you met. That's the God I met. Aren't you glad you're not what you used to be tonight? The anointed of the God of Jacob. David's just testifying what God's done for him. These are his last words. Not a bad idea to leave this life testifying about the Lord. Oh, there's something. And the sweet psalmist of Israel. And the sweet psalmist of it. Preacher, the grammarians say this thing builds. Each new attribute is a little closer to David's heart. David calls himself the sweet psalmist of Israel. I came across a quote this afternoon. I don't remember exactly who said it, or I would give them credit. I don't want to steal the quote. Not after preaching on Jacob, I don't want to steal the quote. He said this, I deduce from that text, I deduce these gentlemen have got it in front of me, and that's a big help. It lets me sort of roam a little bit while I'm preaching, that God has raised him up. He's the anointed of the God of Jacob. Number three, he's the sweet psalmist of Israel. This was the quote. I wouldn't be surprised that David treasured his harp above his crown. That he treasured his heart above his crown. He is king. And what a king. You say, preacher, and we get hung up on this. David sinned. David committed adultery. David got into all that, and I mentioned it this morning, God forgave him. But long after David sinned, in Acts chapter 13, God says of David, I'm going to need one amen. He's a man after my own heart. He's a man. You mean you can mess up? You mean you can have a checkered past? Go to the cross of Calvary, confess those sins. He'll forgive you of those sins, and you can end up being a man after God. That's called grace right there. The sweet psalmist of Israel. Neat. You musicians might appreciate this. That word psalmist, it comes from a verb. Get this. That means to pluck with your fingers. To pluck with your fingers. Preacher, I don't get it at all. Musical instruments, particularly stringed instruments, to pluck. David, in fact, the Bible says he invented musical instruments. He loved praising the Lord. Attributes of David. God's man. Trying to decide if I'm ready to go to the next verse. I guess we probably should do so. Hold up. Go back. I'm sorry. I'm preaching off. There's my Bible tonight. I have my Bible with me. Let's now for a moment not talk about David with those three traits. Let's talk about the Son of David. Let's talk about Jesus with those three traits. Will y'all work with me with that? Will you allow me to talk about Jesus for a few minutes? We have sung about Jesus all night. I believe his name has come up as much, if not more, in any song service I have been in years. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You realize how many preachers now should they be asked to pray at a football game, and it's getting more and more illegal to do that, or pray at the beginning of a congressional session, or down at the court. Do you realize they're being said, pray all you want to, but don't mention the name of Jesus? That's offensive. We can't have that name. That's divisive. I just want to stand here and say something tonight, and I just like to do it despite the devil. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. I'm not ashamed of that name. I wanna bear that name everywhere I go. I'm glad He's my Savior tonight. I just want to talk about Jesus a few minutes. Plug in these same descriptors. The man who was raised up on high. Are y'all enjoying this? I am having a ball. Just turn it down. The man who was raised, you say, well, you can't call Jesus a man. Sure can. There's one God, one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ. He is the God-man. Yeah, but you can't say He was raised up on high. Well, I'm a-fixin' to. He was raised. You say, what do you mean? Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Started out, He's in the form of God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. He came down to this earth, was made in fashion as a man, became a servant, became obedient to death, the lowest form, even the death of the cross. But that's not the end of the story, hallelujah. Wherefore, I need an amen, God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, every time. I'm glad He's been raised up on high. Y'all know what He's doing right now, don't you? He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He ever lived. He's a praying for us right now. The man who was raised up on high. The anointed of the God of Jacob. Preacher, I'm not going to be able to preach these out because I said seven verses. That might have been a mistake. I don't know if we're going to get there. No. The anointed of the God of Jacob. You can't associate the God of Jacob that could, well, Jesus is the one who saved old Jacob. He's the one that changed old Jacob, transformed old Jacob. I sure can. And the anointed, and I pointed out a moment ago, that's the word Messiah. I want to tell you who's the real Messiah. I don't know, preacher. Sweet psalmist of Israel, that doesn't sound like Jesus' category. Musician. And we technically believe that means it goes to the song leader. He'll take the words of the song, psalm, and set them to Musreel, chief musician. I base it on Psalm 22, a little verse. And then in Hebrews 2, Jesus said to His Father, when I get back to heaven, after He says, I believe when we get to heaven, He's going to be the song leader. He's going to be leading the praise. And my, I'd say, what a voice He surely must have. He's a sweet psalmist of Israel. I just couldn't pass that opportunity to apply. If you go to verse 2, verse number 2. Oh, boy. There's some things here that David knows. He's writing a hymn of praise. He's writing a psalm. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. You know what the liberal crowd is saying now? They're saying, we're not sure God superintends and His ideas and His opinions. I'm going to say something. I hope somebody agrees. That's a lie out of hell right there. All Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, you know it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that word inspiration in English, just a different spelling, same definition. God took His book and He used 66 books, Old and New Testament. Need an amen. And God breathed Himself into His Word. Y'all believe that, don't you? Every line. I not only believe it's inspired, I believe it's infallible. Spirit of the Lord. Spake by the Spirit of the Lord. Peter said this, by the Spirit of God, holy men of old, 66 books written over a period of at least 1,600 years by a minimum of 40 writers. 66 books, 1,600 years, 40 writers. Oh, forget it, and not a contradiction in there when read. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. I got in trouble saying this somewhere a few months back. Might have been a year back now. Time flies. I said, do you have a personal relationship with the Spirit of the Lord? There's a preacher that rebuked me. He said, now, preacher, you better be careful there. Said, our relationship is with Jesus. And to that I agree, it is with Jesus. You're looking so intently. I love this atmosphere. But I'm going to tell you something. You can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit also. You can't prove that. I can. Wouldn't have brought it up if I couldn't have proved it. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Paul is praying for the Christians. There's a triad. There's a triune prayer. Here's the third leg of it. That we would know the communion of the Holy Ghost. That we would know the communion of the Holy Ghost. The word koinonia, the word there for communion, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. I just got to ask it. Does anybody here, are you aware consciously that the Holy Ghost is living in you right now? Anybody here, as soon as you do something wrong, as soon as you grieve or quit, you know, my wife will help me with that. I'll ask her in a few minutes. Ruach, that's where I was. Ruach, Spirit. Preacher, what does it mean? Watch. Interesting. Watch what I'm going to do. It means breath. Breath. It can mean breeze. You ever been in a church service? God got the working. God got the moving. It is a blessing to singing. Some old-timey preacher got up there and there's a certain breeze began to blow. It's like it's a breeze from another world. That's a showing up. That's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. He can be a rushing mighty wind. He was on the day of Pentecost. He can be a sweet, gentle little breeze. He's being that in my life right now. I'm glad for the Ruach, the breeze of the Holy Ghost. Now let me show you something. Spirit. Though from the Old Testament to New, the word Spirit is pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Guess what it means? Breath. Breeze. Two languages. Two totally different words. The identical meaning. The Holy Ghost is God's presence. God's breath. God manifesting His love and joy and peace. I need an amen. In our lives. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. His word was in my tongue. Y'all pray I can speed up, would you? I feel a real spirit of prayer developing in the building right now. I'm backwards. You don't have to be around me long to know that. I'm an introvert by nature. Brother Roy knows that by now. Let me be myself and be at home and us get up in the corner somewhere and get me out of the book and start reading or start studying. That is who I am. Debbie will tell you that's just who he is. When God called me to preach, and that was a battle, I did not want to yield. By the way, if He's telling you to do something, I'd save you a lot of time. You just well give in right now. I remember I finally got up the nerve to walk down the church aisle that Sunday night. take the preacher's hand and I said, "Preacher, God has called me to preach." I'll never forget what he said. He said, "Are you sure?" That's the kind of confidence you need right there. "Are you sure?" I thought I was till I got down here. "Are you sure?" That's just out of my nature. How in the world then could you stand in such a blessed, precious place as First Baptist Church of Fletcher? You're standing up here and now you're talking and you got a little loud over there. I'll tell you how. It's not me. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm not sure I can explain it. Something comes on me. Something comes over me. Every man of God will testify to the delight in the glory. The Spirit of the Lord comes out and the Word of God comes out. It's not my authority. It's His authority. It's not my decision. It's His call. Aren't you glad God's Word? Aren't you glad God's men have authority to preach His book? Better go to verse number 3. It is a funny feeling to look up there and see yourself walking. I'm telling you that. The God of Israel said, "The Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." Now, we're transitioning from the shepherd boy. We are transitioning from the sweet psalmist to King. He that ruleth over men. Seems like Paul said this in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. The powers that be are ordained of Almighty God. I don't make an announcement. God knows who the president is. Some of you are in doubt, I can tell right off, but God knows who the president is. He knows who's leading England, Russia, OPEC, the United Arab Republic, if it still exists, and who's the head of the little nation of Israel. God knows. But I just learned something. God requires that those that rule over men must be just. Must be just. Are you all still listening to me? Interesting word there. It's got this idea. Straight. Not crooked. Honest. Righteous in your dealings. I'm just going to say this. Character does count. Got to be just. Ruling in the fear of God. The word there for fear, it's an interesting word. It can mean shaking in your boots, terror. But it can mean reverence, holy respect to an Almighty God. You may not agree with me. America has lost the fear of God tonight. I'm going to say something and I'll be criticized. Somebody's going to say, "Now he got political. It's got nothing to do with politics." You will never convince me otherwise. Killing an unborn baby in mama's womb. I don't care if it's the first month, the second month, or what they're pushing for, eighth or ninth month. It in God's eyes is not right. It is not just. And God will not bless that. You say, "Preacher, you don't have any Bible stuff." Psalm 139 gives me all the Bible I need. Psalm 139 says God watches over the development of that little unborn baby in his or her mother's womb. It uses verbs like God crochets that little body. God knits that little body. If you got red hair, you say genes and chromosomes. I say God Almighty. That might be the tool of you. God's in control. We need as a country, we need as a nation to get back to trying to live a just life in the eyes of God. Ruling in the fear of an Almighty God. And I'd say a lot more about it, but I don't have the time. David knew can't do it tonight. Psalm 101, just write it down and don't read it now. Maybe after church tonight, a list of things King David will not do. Will not do in order to lead and rule the nation of Israel like he should. Hey, Christianity, it tells me some things I ought to do. Will I get any help here? And it tells me some things I ought to not do. And it takes both to be balanced. Let's go to our next verse. Gentlemen, I know y'all are following in your Bibles, and I appreciate that. And he shall be the king. David is rejoicing in what God has done and is doing for him. He shall be as the light of the morning, the king. When the sun rises, what kind of morning? A morning without clouds, as a tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after a shower of rain. Speaks of life, speaks of vitality, speaks of holiness, speaks of purity. That light is the opposite of darkness, you know. Leading, guiding, directing with the approval of Almighty God. I'm going to say something. I can prove it from the book of Isaiah, though we're not going to. One of the first things God does when he begins to judge a nation, he takes away capable leadership. He takes away capable leadership. Follow me. I'm giving you Bible. God said to Israel as she began to backslide, I will give her children to rule over her. Does that mean they're going to elect a 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 year old child? No. Their leadership skills are immature, undeveloped, like children. God says, and we could go on, I guess, and develop it. God said, now, this is what I'll say. You can agree or disagree. You can love me or hate me. I fear America, as the years have gone by, our leadership quality has deteriorated. And I fear right now we probably got the less quality leadership we've ever had in our lives, in my life. But oh, thank God. Thank God. There are leaders. David was one. Clear, bright as grass springing up. See the revival there out after the rain. Now. And I didn't even know I was going to do this one. Can I preach Jesus just a minute right there? My printer, and he's a godly boy, prints all my booklets. He said, Brother Bible, you know why I like your preaching. And I didn't know he liked my preaching, but I said, tell me, son. He said, because you always end up with Jesus. You always go to Jesus. Hallelujah. I wouldn't mind that being a trademark. Y'all don't mind if I preach about Jesus, do you? Yeah, but you can't say he's the light of the morning. I think I can. He's the light of the world. Men love light, but he's the light. I can't say he's the light of the world. When the sun rises, you can't compare that to Jesus. Oh, I most certainly can. Malachi chapter 3 says one of these days he's coming back. Said it'll be like the sunrise. He'll rise with healing in his wings. Anybody believe King Jesus is coming one of these? Like a morning without, we sing about the cloudless day. Like a morning without clouds, grass springing up. He's coming back. He's going to rule and reign in this earth. The Prince of Peace is coming. I'm looking forward to that. Hallelujah. Y'all still okay? Some of you look worried. I'm just asking. Jesus, the Son. Psalm 19. It is a perfect psalm. They're all perfect, but this one in particular is so. The first half talks about the Word of God, and the last half talks about the works, W-O-R-K, works of God. Perfect.
When you get over there on the works of God, His first illustration is the sun. The sun coming up in the morning. Now you figure, I'll not cram it down your throat. He says two things about the sun coming up. Says it's like a bridegroom coming up, going to the wedding. Like a bridegroom. Read it, Psalm 9. If that's not a picture of Jesus, preacher, I got to stand right here just for a minute. I want to tell you, one of these days He's coming back. One of these days the sun, that's not S-U-N, that's S-O-N, is going to rise. And when He comes back, He's going to a wedding. He's coming to get His bride. He's going to catch us away. Hallelujah. And the other Psalm 19 illustration, whether I ever get through preaching tonight, if you have to go, you'll just have to ease out. I'm going to check with my wife in a minute on my time. He said, it's like a warrior going forth to battle. A warrior goes forth. Oh, when He comes again, we're fixing this. Well, we may see it tonight. Like a warrior going back. When He comes back again, He's coming back and know there'll be victory and peace. But there's some people who are going to pay. He's going to defeat the enemy when He gets. We better look at the next verse, gentlemen. You realize how alert they have to be when they're doing it this way? My, they're doing a good job. I was preaching at a church one week and they wanted to put the verses up, and that's fine. I'd call out the verse and it'd be 3 minutes before it ever get up there. And it don't take that long to press a button. They're sharp. I'm not that. Look at my verse. Look at the content. So far it's been victory, praise, hallelujah, for God and His grace. Although, something's wrong. My house shall not be so with God. The new editions, versions of the Bible, they change that first line in our verse and that last line in our verse. I'm going to say something. I don't know if I'll get an amen. I like my Bible unchanged. My house, all these blessings, all these wondrous things, and then David thinks, uh-oh, I have sinned. I have messed up. And I'm afraid my house will not be so with God. I'm afraid I have, I'll use this word, diminished my capacity with an almighty God. Although my house shall not be so. He's looking back, and all this happened after he was a king. We're not talking about shepherd years as a lad. The incident with Bathsheba, the adultery, the murder, and that is what it was, of Uriah, her husband. All the lies that had to be told and the unrepentant sin he held in his heart. Brother Gunn, it looks like at least a year. Although my house shall not be so with God. And now he's saved. And no doubt he's saved. Could I make an announcement? Even if you're saved, I won't get an amen, but I'm going to say, even if you're saved, sin costs. See, that's the forgotten truth in American Christianity. We've been taught God's grace is so good. God's grace is so magnanimous. God's grace, you go out and sin up one side and down the other, live like the devil, and all you got to do, all you got to do, say, Lord, forgive me. And oh boy, God's just glad to get you back. I'm going to say it with that. Not only be sure your sin will find you out, sin still has wages even for the Christian. Although my house shall not be so with God. When David finally did repent, Nathan the prophet, and see him now sticking that long bony finger in King David's face. David could have killed Nathan. Thou art the man. You're the one guilty of offending and sinning against God. Nathan said, the sword will never depart from your home. Are y'all with me? The sword, saved, forgiven. The sword will never depart from your home. Let me give you the litany here. One of David's sons, Amnon, raped one of David's daughters, Tamar. And then another of David's sons, Absalom, killed the rapist, his brother, Amnon. And then Absalom led a rebellion against King David, his own daddy, and would have killed him if he could. Sword! And then at David's death, after his death, a son named Adonijah did not like it that Solomon was going to be the next king, and I'll declare Solomon had a sword to execute his brother Adonijah. Sword, 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 it will not depart. I need an amen. If it's sometimes I say, if it's a sympathy amen, I need it here. Anybody in this building regret some of them old sins you committed? I mean, even after we've been saved. My house, he can't bless it. My house, it'll not be so with God. Listen to me. I know the source of this quote. Alexander McLaren, preacher of yesteryear, British, preached in Manchester, pastored the same church nearly 50 years, died in 1910. He said this, and it's his opinion, but he said it. He said, I believe David never soared as high spiritually. Never soared as high spiritually. He said, you can see it in the Psalms he wrote. He never soared as high spiritually after the sin with Bathsheba as he did before. I don't think I'm smart enough I believe Dr. McLaren, he's a great man, but I do know this, sin will limit some of your spiritual capacity. It'll rob you. My house is not so. I use a little, honey, how long has it been? I need a fair timekeeper tonight. She said 2 hours, and I know good and well it hadn't been 2 hours. I had preached probably too long the other night. Deb wasn't with me. But she said, boy, that's a long sermon. She's watching. I said, well, honey, what you don't understand? I said, there's a man on the second row. Every time I'd get ready to quit, he'd say, no, keep preaching. Go on. We want to hear it all. And that was the truth. And then she said, did you look at the other 100 that were not saying, keep preaching, go on, give it all? Never dawned on me. My house and I, yet, keep short sin accounts with God. When you do wrong, when you sin, confess it. Confess it immediately. Don't let it fester. Don't let it go for days. It will hurt you and rob you. Yet, I'm glad there's a yet. Although I've made a mess, yet, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. He hath made with me an everlasting, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 7, if you want to pursue it further, an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire. Although I didn't help, although he made it grow not, he's had to limit me. Is that what he just said? I've messed up. I regret it. Sorry, I'm ashamed of myself. I know I've limited myself with an almighty God, but still, everlasting covenant, I'm going to misapply this, but have fun doing it. But still, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm secure. And still, y'all better help me. I am going to heaven. Amen. But that everlasting covenant has caught my eye. What is the everlasting covenant? And as I say, it's 2 Samuel 7. Can y'all go 10 more minutes? The rest of you just have to ease out quietly, I reckon. 10 more minutes. Let me look. Here's the everlasting covenant God made with David, also called the Davidic covenant. David, I'm going to give you a son to sit on the throne. In fact, David, I'm going to make you a promise. Any king that will ever sit on the throne, you will always have a son. Everlasting covenant. You will always have a son on the throne. And if that son obeys you, I will bless. If he disobeys you, I will discipline. Boy, has God done that to Israel. You know about the divided kingdom, the northern kingdom, 10 tribes Israel, southern kingdom, 2 tribes Judah and Benjamin. David's sons ruled in the south. The only good kings Israel / Judah ever had were out of the loins of King David. Well, Brother Bagwell, don't look now. They don't have a king. Benjamin Netanyahu is not a king. No, he isn't. They don't have a king right now. But that word everlasting and everlasting covenant means exactly what it says. I got to tell you, I want to get up here so I can see more of you. They're going to have a king one of these days. I'd sure like to know who that is. Well, it's sort of the theme of the night. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I know how he's going to get here. Heaven's going to open. He's going to ride a white horse out of glory. And he's coming back to this earth. Plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. That's in Jerusalem. Are y'all still with me? And he'll rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. David, you'll always... And he said, that's it. That's a sure thing. I say amen. That's all my salvation. I hadn't done right, but God has. I've not been faithful, but he has been faithful. Amen. It's not up to date. He made it to grow. I've messed up. But God will not mess up. Y'all still enjoying it? I hope you are. Next verse. Next verse. But I think there's 2 verses left, Brother Roy. I done used up 3 of my 10. But the sons of Belial. Oh my, who's that? The word Belial is one of their gods. Belial means empty, useless, worthless. Can I give you a 3-word description of the devil and what the devil will give to you? Empty, useless, and worthless. The sons of Belial. When Jesus comes back, the righteous will be blessed. The sons of Belial will not be blessed. They will be judged. America does not believe in a coming judgment of God. You know what Leonard Ravenhill said before he died, and he's been dead a while. He says, God will have to judge the United States of America or apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah when judgment day comes. I didn't say it. That's a pretty bold statement. But that's what Dr. Ravenhill... God will have to judge America for her sins. Do you all know what I'm talking about? For her sins or apologize. God's going, the sons of Belial, they'll be like thorns thrown away. Thorns because they cannot be taken with hand. I want to be wheat. I want to bear fruit. And you do too. To the glory of God. Love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. But the unrighteous, the sons of Belial, they're like thorns. Just go there and pick them up there. You can't. They can't be taken with hands. They'll be thrust away. Next verse. How we go? The man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear. If you're gonna deal with those thorns, you're gonna have to have some tools to do it. Fenced with iron. They'll cut you. They'll slice you. And then if that doesn't take care of the thorns, look, they'll be utterly burned with fire in the same place. God will burn them. God will burn. He's going to come back and honor righteousness. I need an amen. He'll have to judge iniquity. And He's going to do it as sure as I'm standing here tonight. That's what scares me. You know, you ever seen kids playing and they're trying to pull this little tower of milk and they climb up and they're going to pull it over? And you say, that thing's going to topple. It probably will if they keep banking on it. But the bad thing about something like that falling is going to fall on them. It's going to fall on them. I'm leading up to something. When America falls, and our nation is going to fall, one of these, you can't say that with any authority. Show me America in Bible prophecy. Show me America, the second coming of the Lord. Show me America during the tribulation. Show me America. You can't find a clear cut indicator. Our nation is on the way down. It's our own fault. We have sinned ourselves into oblivion in the eyes of an almighty God, and we will be judged. And I'm afraid when she falls, it's going to fall on us. See if y'all agree. I think you will. I believe we're going to leave here before the tribulation. I'm going to give you another chance. I think sneaked that one up. I believe we're going to leave here before the tribulation. But that doesn't mean we may not face some hard times. Maybe some suffering before our Lord comes again. What if we're among us sons of Belial as a nation? What if we're among that crowd of briars? What if we're among that crowd that they'll be cut down with a pruning hook or burned in the fire? It could happen to the land we love so dearly. You say, Preacher Bagwell, you're 100 miles from David's mighty man. I'm still in my chapter. And we've looked at those 7 verses tonight. What God can do, hallelujah, how our stinking sins can prohibit Him. That verse, and Jesus did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Our unbelief can tie the hands of an almighty God. Tell you what we better get to doing. I need an amen. I'm trying to close. We better get to praying for America. Let's do just that. Bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer. Our musicians will be coming to the instruments. I have no intention of preaching this long tomorrow night, but that be a matter of record. The more I preach, the more I wanted to get those verses in. Did we stand across the building? Just quietly stand. They're on their way to play. It's a big auditorium. It takes a minute to get here. I wonder. Somebody, and you don't have to do this, and it's not a strong arm effort, but somebody come breathe a word of prayer for our nation, for our country. Oh, Lord, do something to get our attention in America. Lord, it seems like we've lost the fear of the Lord. Revive us. Touch us. Again. Don't have to. By no means do I demand it. Just the opportunity. Might be worth praying it for the children's sake, if not yours, the little ones. I wonder tonight, up to you, I just wonder tonight, there might be someone in this building. You say, Preacher Bagwell, I have a sin issue to deal with. I don't want to be like David. You come. You come while they play. You come. God's working in our midst. Somebody just come tonight and tell Him you love Him. Somebody pray, and I'll go no further. God's working right now. God's working right now in a special way. Somebody pray. Lord, glorify Your name. God, manifest Your power, Your grace, Your love. But it's not so with my house. What sad words. Somebody pray for your house tonight. Your family. Been some great men, their children didn't turn out so well. Been some average Christians, and they raised pristine kids. I don't understand it. It's a riddle to me. But we all have the opportunity of prayer, the privilege of prayer. Oh, for my house. For my house. Preacher, come on, if you will.
Believe in thine heart, confess with thy mouth, and I shall be saved. This precious lady just did that. And she said, won't you tell them? She confessed to me, the Lord saved her. Praise His holy name. Salvation. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Thank God for His word. Thank God for His preached word. Thank God for Brother Bagwell. God uses him, anoints him. Could be say just a man. I'm sure he's got something else to say. Go right ahead.
I had asked you this morning to consider reading 2 Samuel 23. I think I suggested three times. Just curious. I've got my picture frame. I hadn't talked to the priest. Usually we keep account. If you've got your three times in, raise your hand real big. I just want to count. I'm counting. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38. Debbie, all right, honey, put 38 times 3. I'm sorry. All right, 40. I can do that where it's 120 times so far. But how many of you got more than three times? Put your hand up. Debbie got 10, so add your 7. How many did you get? All right. 7, so, yeah, do the math there. Yes. All right, do the math for us, honey. Anybody else? You got more. You did extra credit, more than three times. I want to thank you for beginning that familiarization process with our great chapter. And preacher, if you'll let me, I want to ask a question. And I'll be around the front. We don't go anywhere for a while. It's worth the trip to me if you'd share this morning's sermon, Shema, or tonight's sermon, David, his victories, his defeats, and the marvelous grace of God. I'd like to know which you think will be the most help. Which will you maybe remember the longest, the morning or the evening message? Honey, what is our total? Yes. Someone watched today and texted in to us their chapter. Total of 142 times. My picture frame's over there. Tomorrow night it'll be big red letters, 142 times. And, please help me, we're going to read some more tomorrow. Whoa, that was a little bit weak right there. And we're going to read some more tomorrow. Or hear it if you get somebody to read it to you. Put the app on your Bible and let it read it. That counts equally as well. I'd love to get 1,000 times through this chapter before the week is out. I believe God could easily let us do that. I love you. You are a unique crowd. I don't know how long I preach tonight. It was not my goal to begin with. I just couldn't find a place to quit. And you've been kind. You've been attentive. And I sure do appreciate that. Come on, preacher. Love you, sir.